Chapter 10.
Luke won that race, coming in meters ahead of Haleava, who in turn was meters ahead of the third-place finisher. Haleava was less than half Luke's age, but his ability to draw on the Force at a consistent level clearly surpassed hers, and he raced across the finish line, his pace undiminished, to the cheers of the onlookers. Luke rejoined his son at the fringes of the crowd and toweled off with a cloth from the cargo speeder. He gave his son a significant look. Anything? Ben, back in his customary black, he did not want Oleana or others to become accustomed to seeing him in more concealing garments when he was with his father, shook his head.
She's the conversational equivalent of a monkey lizard on too much calf. Here, there, everywhere. And it's impossible to pin her down.
Pity.
She did say something about liking the Dathomiri, wishing her people could learn from them. It was innocuous, but it kind of sent chills down my spine.
Luke looked around. That's good. Good awareness on your part. And if we can figure out what she wants to learn, maybe we can determine a weakness in her Sith order. What do the Dathomiri have that the Sith don't?
Unique Force abilities? Interesting mating habits?
Luke snorted.
Dad, is it true that Tenennial Joe tried to marry you against your will?
Tenennial Joe, mother of Tenel Ka, had been a witch of Dathomir. If marry is the word, yes. So be careful who you smile at around here. I'm not ready to be a grandfather, or even a father-in-law.
Don't worry. What are my prospects here? A bunch of women who are used to ruling their men, and one Sith girl.
Ben spent time in the shadow of the cargo speeder, using macro binoculars borrowed from Carrick to spy on Vistara. But blast her, she didn't do anything suspicious. She watched the competitions with interest and enthusiasm. She spoke often with Raining Leaves, especially Oleana, and not infrequently with Kamina and Haleava. Vistara chatted and cheered, was warm to some and chilly with others. She moved with a dancer's grace that was at odds with the slight awkwardness of any young woman her age. She was to Ben's increasing aggravation, like most teenage girls he had met. Nothing about her screamed Sith. She was not surrounded by a miasma of evil, not even by the sort of implacable drive and focus that had been characteristics of Jason Solo as he became darker. Ben wished intensely to find some personal reason to dislike the girl, and couldn't. He was distracted by a competition, by Han Solo stepping up to the front of a crowd of competitors. Belatedly, Ben realized that it was a blaster pistol competition for those without the arts. He had been hearing the slow, rhythmic blasts of methodical shooting for some time. Now Han stood at the front of the line as targets, small clay plates, were stood on end in brackets atop 10 wooden posts. The clan members setting up the targets had barely gotten to a safe distance from them when Han drew and began firing. Unlike the previous competitors, he shot from the hip. His shots came so fast that Ben could barely distinguish between them. In less than 3 seconds, all 10 plates were smashed into expanding clouds of clay and gas. Han grinned, twirled his blaster on his finger, and reholstered it. Ben smiled, too. Han was taking a chance that the reduction in accuracy he'd suffer from firing so fast would be more than offset if he cleared his targets by the dismay his show would cause in other competitors. And he was right. Ben saw faces fall among the other shooters. Many in the audience cheered the ostentatious display of skill. Tassander Dest, leader of the Broken Column, stepped up, seeming not at all disheartened. The organizers of the event set up 10 new targets. When they were clear of the posts, Dest drew and fired just as Han had. 10 targets exploded into clay fragments. Han made an unhappy face. Ben snickered. It was good for his uncle to run up against people who could give him a hard time.